Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide, coming to you from the Conservative Political Action Conference, better known as CPAC, in the immediate environs of the nation's capital. It is a gathering of extraordinary people, one of whom is with us frequently, in fact, weekly on average, but who is with us in person as opposed to simply by some remote input, often from Asia, which he covers brilliantly for, among others, the Daily Beast, Fox News, and, of course, for us. He is Gordon Chang, a man who has been tasked by the organizers of CPAC to moderate a panel that I'm very privileged to be a small part of that will have taken place by the time this program airs. So we're going to ask Gordon to give us a sneak preview that if you've actually watched it on the internet, you will have seen in all of its glory. But Gordon Chang, it's great to have you with us, and congratulations on presiding over a pretty interesting group of people and talking about a subject near and dear to both of our hearts. Tell us about it.
Well, thank you so much, Frank, and it's great to meet Morgan, who I've only corresponded through the email.
Our magnificent senior producer. We're glad to
Absolutely.
Have her with us here, too.
What we're going to talk about is China's existential challenge to the United States. And that challenge is broad-based. We're going to look at the Chinese challenge to the economy, to our military, our security interests around the world. You're going to talk about China's challenge to our domestic security, and I'll be talking about challenge to culture, specifically the opioid crisis. Mm. And the point I'm going to make is that China's ruling party is profiting from killing Americans. We need to be very clear about what's going on. And so we're going to speak in blunt terms, terms that the American people have generally not heard because of the political consensus in this country. But Frank, we are changing that political consensus about China, and it's well past time that we have been able to make this change.
Tell us, Gordon, about who else is going to be participating in this panel, because it's a pretty illustrious group. I'm very honored to be among it.
Yeah, well, so am I. We're going to have Steve Moore from the Heritage Foundation talking about the economy. John Bolton will be talking about the external challenges. And you'll be talking about the internal challenges. So Bolton and you are going to cover some really important areas where we have yet to wrap our minds around what Beijing is doing. Because, you know, China, you know, people say, oh, they're a revisionist power. We need to be much clearer than that. China is a revolutionary power. Mm. Not only do these guys want to rule the world, what they want to do is to overthrow the world's rules-based order and replace it with something with is their imperial system in effect. Now, I know that sounds ludicrous, but this is the way the Chinese leaders are talking these days, and it shows you the broad-based nature of China's challenge to the world.
Yeah, and I think this is such an incredibly important point, Gordon. It may sound ridiculous, but it doesn't mean that it's not their plan. And the thing that you'd understand better than anybody is that they're patient people. They seem to be getting more confident that the plan is working and that they may be able to accelerate it. But basically, talk a little bit about the kind of timelines that the Chinese have set for themselves to achieve this kind of global domination, the middle kingdom ruling the world.
Yeah, let's go back to last September, because Wang Yi, the Chinese foreign minister, wrote an article in Study Times, which is the newspaper of the Communist Party's party school, central party school. And in it, he talked about how Xi Jinping's thoughts about international relations replaced 300 years of Western international relations theory. Now, if you go back 300 years, Frank, that's basically the 1648, the Treaty of Westphalia, which established the whole notion of separate sovereign states. And that is what underpins our international order today. It appears that China wants to replace it with one system where basically everyone else who's not Chinese is a tributary to the magnificent Chinese courts. Yeah. Now, I was stunned when I saw this, because this connects with previous language that they've been using now for about a half decade of really going back to what's called the Tianxia, or all under heaven system, where everything under heaven is the province of China's emperor.
And this is what the panel that you will be moderating and addressing is going to cover in considerable detail, or too briefly, sadly, but nonetheless in a comprehensive way. And I think the unmistakable takeaway, Gordon, and again, we're speaking about it at a time when it will have happened when this airs, but the unmistakable takeaway, as you said at the outset, is they are at war with us. And it's not just through fentanyl killing Americans. This is unrestricted warfare. And that's the point that I think has to be driven home to this audience and many beyond.
Absolutely unrestricted warfare, which, as you pointed out on this show, you know, is the title of that book by then two Chinese colonels, which talks about the use of all weapons, including weapons of mass destruction, against the United States and the international system. We have to comprehend the nature of this challenge.
Yeah. Gordon, let me ask you about one piece of it, because it seems as though the dime has begun dropping. You said there's not only a need for a sea change, but some evidence that it's taking place. I'm sure you're thinking in part of an example that's come to our attention just in the past couple of days, and that is an effort, I guess it's at least informally being called the Quad. The United States, Japan, Australia, and India are beginning to come to grips with something that the Chinese are up to, and again, I don't think we understand fully what's entailed. So talk about both what's precipitating the Quad coming together and what you expect the Quad to do.
Yeah, it's clear that what's pulling the Quad together, and that is Chinese expansionism. And we go back to 2005 when the United States started trying to bring the four countries together. The effort went nowhere. Australia, in particular, was concerned about irritating Beijing. And also the United States pulled back after China made some comments about this. But now, you know, these four
This was the so-called peaceful rise period.
The peaceful rise period. But now we see the four countries, including Australia, working closely together on a military and non-military domains. And this is the reason, is that China has pushed this. You know, China complains about the Quad these days. Doesn't make a difference, largely because people have seen that China does not want to become a responsible stakeholder in the international system. The term that Robert Zoellick, during the administration of George W. Bush, used, we see China not wanting to enmesh itself in the international system. We see a China which has become lawless, actually abrogating obligations it voluntarily undertook. This is just, I think, the central challenge to the United States, to China's neighbors, to everybody on this planet.
And it's taking a very tangible form, Gordon Chang, as you understand so well, in this so-called One Belt, One Road initiative. Just remind us what that's about, and what would you anticipate the Quad might do about it?
Yeah, the One Belt, One Road is Xi Jinping initiative. He's the ruler of China. And this is to try to connect basically the entire world to China so that it will be able to sell its goods everywhere. People are talking about alternatives to One Belt, One Road. The thing that here is that China wants to spend, and just look at this ambition, China wants to spend about $1 trillion on infrastructure that the private sector would not build. And so that shows you...
Through something like 60% of the world's populations.
Through 60%
nations.
Of the world's population. Well, essentially 100% of the world's population right now. Because One Belt, One Road initially tried to connect the big cities on China's east coast with Europe. And that was through, of course, the Indian Ocean and Africa. But now we've had the Polar Silk Road. We've got the Latin America Silk Road. They're talking about a Silk Road into the United States. This is a complicated subject. I don't think the Chinese will be able to do it, but it shows you the breadth of ambition. And that's what we have to be concerned about, is their ambition.
Indeed, and the expression of it in all of these forms, not simply the economic. We will be discussing it, Gordon, with you and John Bolton and Stephen Moore tomorrow afternoon at CPAC. If you are hearing about this after the fact, please check out the videotape at cpac.org. Thank you, Gordon Chang, for all you do, my friend, especially for your visits with us each week. We appreciate them and look forward to doing so with you again next week.
Thank you, Frank.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.